This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, everyone. Shalom Aleichem. We are continuing Daf HaShavua, preparing for the Yom Tov of Pesach by learning Daf Pei Dalet. Pei Dalet, Gematria 84. Here we go. The Gemara said on Pei Gimel Amud Beis, says the Gemara. Gemara says like this. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if somebody makes a stipulation that they're not going to inherit their wife, this was the first Mishnah of the ninth Perek, then he still inherits her. Why? Because he's stipulating against the Torah. B'chalamasna mashkasa b'Torah, t'nai batal. Anyone who's masna against what the Torah says, the t'nai is batal. Yeah? So the Gemara said that Rav said the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, but not for his reason. So the Gemara wanted to clarify, what does it mean that Rav said halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, but not for his reason? Did he mean that halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that if she dies, you still inherit her, but not for her reason, not for his reason? Because Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, masna mashikaz v'tayra, the t'nai is batal. Rav holds, t'nai is kayam. But Rav holds Yerusha's Midrabanan. So even though normally Tanai Kayam, but the rabbis strengthened their words and they said Tanai is Batal. So maybe that's what Rav meant. What Rav meant was the Tanai is. Maybe what Rav meant was the Tanai is Batal, but not because he agrees that you can't be Masna Masha Kasavatara. He holds you could be Masna Masha Kasavatara. But here, Yerusha's Drabanan and the rabbis upheld their words more than a Torah law. So Gemara asks on that. The Gemara challenges that. Says Gemara, Vesavar Rav, does Rav hold Tanai Kayam? Does Rav hold the Tanai stands? Viha Itmar, but we learned, Ha Oimer Lechavera, one who says to his friend, Amenas She'in Lecha Alai Oina, on condition that you cannot charge me oina. What does this mean? Let's say I'm selling you something, okay? Reuven says to Shimon, Shimon, I'm selling you something, but if I'm overcharging you, you can't have any claims against me. Midoraisa, you can't charge somebody more than a sixth. If you charge more than a sixth, all bets are off. The sale is null and void. If you charge exactly a sixth, the sale is valid, but you have to reimburse the buyer for the extra. If it's less than a sixth, then there's no reimbursement. That's a healthy profit. Now, Rav says that on condition, if somebody sells something on condition, you can't charge me oina. Rav says, you could charge oina because you can't make a stipulation against the Torah. Ushmola, Amar Shmuel says, ein loy alav oina. You cannot charge oina because you stipulated. But bottom line is, we see that Rav holds that by De'oraisa, you cannot be Masna Mashikas B'Torah. So how could we say that Rav says the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, but not for his reason? What do you mean not for his reason? Well, because Rav Shimon Gamliel holds you can't be Masna Mashikas B'Torah, and Rav holds you could? No, he doesn't. Rav holds you can't. So Gemara says, Ella halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel, rather, the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Amar Hamasa Mashikas B'Torah Tanai Batel, who says if you stipulate against what it says in the Torah, the Tanai is Batel, meaning he holds that you cannot be Masna Amasha Kas B'Torah, but V'lav Mitame, but not for his reason. Dilu Rav Shimon Gamliel Savar, because Rav Shimon Gamliel holds Mesa Yerushana, if she would die, you inherit her, because you can't be Masna Mashikas B'Torah. But Rav holds, Mesa, if she dies, La Yerushana, you don't inherit her. Why? Because why would he say that? Because he holds that you only inherit the wife, Midrabanan. And since Midrabanan, therefore, Lo Yirashena, you can't inherit her because you could be Masna on the Rabbanans. So in other words, he agrees with Rav Shimon Gamliel, you can't be masne on a Torah law. He just holds that in this case you could make a stipulation because he holds that inheriting your wife is not a Torah law. It's a rabbinic law. So says Gemara. Says Gemara, Hamitameh, this is for his reason, v'leikil chasei, and not like his halacha. That's not called agreeing with his halacha, but not for his rationale. That's called agreeing with his rationale that you can't be masa mashikas v'torah, but arguing with his halacha, because since it's not a Torah law, you hold, you could stipulate. So that's not, you agree with Rav Shin Gamliel's halacha, but not for his reason, but rather, you agree with his reason, but you disagree with the halacha. Ella, but rather, halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel. The halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. To Amar, who says in Mesa, Yirashena, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if she dies, you inherit her, v'lav mitameh, but not for the reason. The Rav Shimon Gamliel savar, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that you inherit her because b'dayraisa t'nai batel. Ha bidrabanan t'nai kaim. If it would be rabbinic, the t'nai would stand because you can't stipulate against a rabbanan. For Rav Sav and Rav holds that the halacha would be you can't stipulate even if it would be rabbanan. Afil bidrabanan t'nai bata. So maybe he agrees with Rav Shimon Gamliel that t'nai is bata, but Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that t'nai is bata because it is a d'oraisa, but if it would be a drabanan, the t'nai would stand because you can't stipulate against it. And Rav Shimon Gamliel would say, Rav Shimon Gamliel says the t'nai is batel because it's a d'oraisa, but if it was midrabanan, then the t'nai would stand because you're allowed to stipulate against the drabanan. And Rav holds that even a drabanan you can't stipulate against. Says v'rav savra afilu b'drabanan t'nai batel. So says Gemara, that means he agrees to the reasoning of Rav Shimon Gamliel that you can't stipulate against the Torah. Uke hilchase, and he agrees with his halacha. Rav is just adding v'rav moisefu. That can't be what Rav meant. Halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel. V'lav mitameh, he holds halachas like him, he agrees to his reason, it's just that, he adds that you can't even stipulate against drabanans. Ella rather, halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel, the halachas like Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Amar who says, emesa yirashena, that if she dies, you'll inherit her. So, the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that if she dies, you'll inherit her. The halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that if she dies, you'll inherit her because you can't stipulate the lav mitameh. Listen carefully. Deilu Rav Shimon Gamliel savar yirusha sabal dairaisa. Rav Shimon Gamliel says yirusha of a bal is biblical. Anyone who stipulates against the Torah, t'nai batel, the t'nai is batel. The Rav Sava Rav holds Yerusha Sabal Drabanan. And the Chachomim Asu Chizikul Devrayam Kishel Torah. So bottom line is like this. Rav Shimon Gamliel says you can't stipulate against Yerusha because Yerusha is Dairaisa. Rav, on the other hand, holds Yerusha's Drabanan, but Rav holds that you can't stipulate because the Chachamim made a chizuk l'devrayim. Says Gemara, the Gemara asks, V'Rav Savar Yerusha Sabal Drabanan? Does Rav hold the Yerusha of a husband is rabbinic? V'atam, we learned in the Mishnah, Rav Yochanan ben Broika Oimer, Hayoresh es Ishtai, one who inherits his wife, Yachsir Levnei Mishpacha. You have to return it to the family in Yovel. If you inherit your wife, you inherit in Yovel. You have to return it to the family in Yovel. V'yigbe lohen min hadam. And you deduct money. V'havinam ba, we asked, Maika Savar, what does Rav hold? If he holds the Yerusha of a husband is biblical, amayachzer. Why would he have to return the property in Yovel if he inherits it midaraisa? V'idrabanan, if he holds Yerusha's drabanan, then, and that's why you return it, because midaraisa, you were never really entitled to it. Then why do you get reimbursed? My adamim amaya vidatayu. Why do you get money? It's not yours to begin with. Va'amar Rav, and Rav said, "Lo'olam kasavra yerusha sabal daraisa." Really, we hold the yerusha of a husband is biblical. However, why are you returning it in Yovel over here? Ukagoyin shahayrishasa ishtay beis hakvarais. Let's say you inherited from your wife a fat ancestral burial plot. So really, Yerusha Dairaisa, but you inherited an ancestral burial plot. Mishum Pegam Mishpacha, because of the embarrassment to the family, Amar Rabbana, the rabbi said, Lishgal Dami, take money Vilhader and return it. So really, you shouldn't have to return it. But because this is owned by the family, so because the we say, return it. Says the Gemara. My Yenaka. One second. What now? Why do you have to deduct the money? Why do you have to deduct the money? In other words, if really, really you inherit a midaraisa, Mishum Pegam Mishpacha, the rabbi said that take money and return it to her. So Umayinak Elohem Minadam, what does it mean you deduct money? I mean, actually, you should get paid in full because it belongs to you. You shouldn't have to deduct anything. You should, if you want to, if you're required to give it back to the woman's family, you should get full reimbursement. The answer is no, you don't get full reimbursement because you don't get reimbursed for your wife's burial spot because that's something you have to pay for anyway. Says the Gemara, what does it mean you deduct from the value? Deme kever ishtei, the value of the grave of your wife. Kedetanya, like we learned in a braisa, hamoicher kivrei, one who sells a grave, v'derech kivrei, and a road to the grave, Ma'amadai, the place where the maimad takes place. Ma'amadai is where they would stop and eulogize. Or umakam espedai.
A woman is not buried in her husband's plot. The Gemara seems to say that a woman is buried in her own family's plot.
The Gemara seems to say that she's buried in the family plot. Okay. But he can't say you have to pay me for that plot because he has to bury her anyway. I mean, why would she be buried there to begin with? Wasn't a woman buried?
If husband and wife buried together, unless at the times of the Gemara wasn't like that.
Not sure.
The rehash of grave site.
What?
The rehash of grave site. So she wanted to be with the family, the hush of family grave site.
Or maybe he just can't demand payment because we say, look, you need to bury your wife. So again, Kedetanya, like we learned in Ebraisa, Hamoicher Kivrei V'Derech Kivrei. Someone says his spot and the path to his spot of burial, Ma'amadu Makim Hespedai, the place that was set aside for his Maimed. Maimed is, they would stop on the way to, maybe to be Mesabel Uboicha. So then, if someone sells it, ba'in b'nei mishpacha. So the family members come. V'koivrin oisei bal karche. They bury the person in that spot. Mishum p'gam mishpacha, because it's embarrassing to the family. And I guess they get reimbursed. So this is a raya to what Rav said, that you get reimbursed. Says the Gemara, so how could you say that Rav holds that Yerushas Habal is Drabanan, but we see here that Rav holds Yerushas Habal is Dai Raisa? Says Gemara, no. Rav Latameh Rabbi Yochanan Bar Gamar. Rav was just explaining where Rabbi Yochanan Breika holds, he doesn't hold, he holds that a woman inherits her husband midrabanan. Okay, next Mishnah, you ready? The Mishnahis are hard in this parak, in this Masechta. Mi shemes, but don't be scared, we're going to get this, klar. Someone who died, vihiniach isha, he left a woman that he has to give a ksuba to. Ubal Chayv, he left people who he owes money to. V'yarshin, he left inheritors. They all want his property. He has a woman who needs to get paid a ksuba. He has people who he borrowed from. He has Yarshin. V'hayoloi pikadon emil v'biyad acherem. And now he has something that was deposited or a loan in someone else's rishus. So let's say, why are we talking about metaltalin? Let's say there's no karka. And if, see, he left over this property, and I'm sorry, he died, he left a woman, he left people he owes money to, he left Yarshim, and he has movables in the rishus of others. So what's the halacha? Rav Tarfon Oimer, Yunasu L'Koshel Shabahem. Rav Tarfon says, you give it to the weakest one. Now what does that mean, you give it to the weakest one? Rashi explains, quoting the Gemara, that the Gemara will explain who the weakest one is. Now normally, the metaltan of Yisoyimim are not Meshubet, not to a Bachayv, not to a Ksuba. But in this case, it's not in the rishus. So Rav Tarfon holds, we take it from the loive, or we take it from the one who had the pikadon has, and we give it to the Baal Chayv and to the ksuba. If it would be in the rishus of the yisoyimim, it would not be meshubed. But now it's in the rishus of the loive or the Baal pikadon. So now we say it is meshubed, sort of. So that's the opinion of Rav Tarfon. You give it to the weakest one, we'll see who that is. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Rabbi Kiva says, "Ein merachem emedin." We don't have any mercy here in judgment. Eli yinasnu liyarshim. We give it to the Yarshim. Why do we give it to the Yarshim? Rashi says, not even going to help if anyone grabs it away from them. Why? Shekulan tzrichen shvua. Because for a woman to collect from someone who was holding on to the pikadain or the milveh. So if the woman's going to collect, or the bal chayv, the person who lent the money, or the person who borrowed the money is going to, meaning if you can, we give it to the yarshim. Why? Because if the woman's going to collect, or the person who the money is owed to is going to collect, they're going to have to swear. Shekulon tzrichen shua, they all have to swear. V'ein ha'yarshim tzrichen shua. But the yarshim do not have to swear. Because when you're collecting from yisoyimim, you have to swear. But the yisoyimim, to yarshim, they don't have to swear. So they have a stronger claim over here. Hiniach peirois, if let's say you left fruits that are unconnected to the ground, in other words, they're disconnected from the ground. So what's the halacha? It's a very interesting halacha. Anyone who takes it first is zaycha. Why? Zachsa Isha Yasim Iksubasa. If the woman is Zaycha and she takes more than the Ksuba, or Ubal Choiv Yosel Achoivai, or the Baal Choiv takes more than the debt, HaMoisar, what about the extra? Let's say the Baal Choiv was owed $100, he took 150, or the woman was owed 200, so she took 300. So you have extra fruits, and more was taken. So if Tarfon says, you know, so Lekosha Shabahen, the extra, you give it to the weakest one. Rav Tarfon Omer, okay, so Rav Tarfon says you give it to the weakest one. And Rabbi Kiva Omer, in Marachmim, and then Rabbi Kiva says we don't have mercy in judgment, Ela Yinasno Liyarshin, we give it to the Yarshim. Why? Shekulan Tzrichem Shua, everybody needs to swear. The Eina Yarshim Tzrichem Shua, and the Yarshim do not need to swear. So now the Gemara is Akasha. Lama Lila Misni Milva. Why do I need to teach that there's a loan? Lama Lila Misni Pikadon. Why do I need to say a case of Pikadon? Why do I need both of these cases? Meaning, what does Milva or Pikadon add? We're already dealing with one of these two cases over Yarshim. Why do I need both of them? Says Gemara Tzrich, I need both of them. Di'itana milveh, because if it's just going to teach a case of a milveh, b'hakamer of Tarfon. That's when Rav Tarfon said that by a milveh, we don't give it to the Yarshim. Mishum de milveh l'haitzaninu. Because when you lend money, it's supposed to be, the money is supposed to be used. So, when the loan was made, it's meant to be used. It's not extant. So Rashi says it's missing collection. That's why Rav Tarfon says it's not in the Rishus of the Yisoimim. So whatever the person who borrowed the money has when the father died, that's not for the Yarshim. So since Milva L'Haitza Nitnu, The Yarshim don't really have a claim on it. Masha'in came by Pikadain. The Isa Be'ena, where the person's holding it in extant, Ema Moedele Rekiva, maybe I'll agree with Rabbi Kiva, that it goes to the Yarshim, because maybe since it's extant, the Baal Pikadain is holding it for the Yarshim. So maybe we could say the Yarshim are Muchsuk. So then, Imam Modile the Rabbi Akiva, then it goes to the Yarshim. Itanaha, and if we just say the case of Pikadon, maybe only then Rabbi Akiva says it goes to the Yarshim, because since it's Be'en, maybe the Baal HaPikadon is holding it for the Yarshim. Bahakam Rabbi Akiva, Bahach, Imam Modile the Rabbi Tarfon, so therefore it's Richa. Maila Koshal. So the Shal is, what did Rabbi Tarfon mean? That you give it to the weakest one. That's the million-dollar question. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Omer l'koshel shebaraya, the one with the weakest raya, whoever was owed the money last, who can't ever go to karka, will get the metaltalin. So I don't really understand that, because I thought there is no karka. So what difference does it make who is dated last? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no, l'ksubas isha. The weakest one is the ksuba. Why mishum china? To make her more charming. Because we want her to find favor. What does that mean? Otherwise, Rashi says, "Sheyimtzu ha'anashim chen bein anashim." We want men to find favor in the eyes of women, because we want to give them the advantage that they know that they would be able to collect the ksuba. So therefore, they will want to get married, and they will find. In other words, Rashi says men will find favor in the eyes of women when women know they'll be able to collect the ksuba. Kitanoi, this is really like a machlokes tanam. Rabbi Yamin Oimer, lekoy shel shabaraya, the one whose shtar is dated last. Vehu kosher, provided that it's kosher. Meaning, vehu kosher, that's the right way to go. That's the right thing to do. That's the Rashi says the hagun thing to do. Rabbi Lezer says the ksubas isha, we give it to the ksubas isha mishum china, because of chen, because we want her to find favor. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we're gonna hold it over here. Shkayach, hatzlacha. Have a good night. Kol tov. Be well. Thanks.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.